We Talk Podcasts is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. Check out the Geek Nation Tours New York Comic Con package, combining all the excitement of the convention with a tour of the city and the coolest sights for the superhero fan. You'll recognize locations from films and books and visit geek culture sites like Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
And here we go, another We Talk Fantasy Football. I am Mo.
And I'm Brett.
All right, Brett, and we're doing another Carversation. That's the only way we're getting it done this week, unfortunately. But so we're sitting here in the car doing our travels to and from work. And as we do that, we're talking fantasy football. We've had a couple good weeks. We've gone now 5-1 this last week. That makes this 11-1 the last 2 weeks, and 21-9 is our aggregate total on the season for a 700 win percentage. And so we'll probably go more into why that is and the stream even in more detail, because it really is the stream that's been the success strategy. But any quick thoughts on that?
Well, you're right. The stream has been really good. And I think what I will say for the stream this year is that we have thoroughly committed to the stream before. We've talked about streaming in other years, but I don't even think we understood how much we had to thoroughly commit to streaming players for it to actually work the way it is working.
Yeah, so we will get some more into that. There's an excellent example of that coming up, though, where we literally streamed half our team. With our worst team, we streamed half the team off the waiver wire and won, and we're the high-scoring team in the league that week. So, but we're going to get into it. First, we're going to open up with the weekly pick'em, the best players, and the survivor pick. So let's open it up here with game one tonight, which is pretty much a slam dunk, I think.
Yeah, you know, the 5-0 Falcons versus the 1-4 New Orleans Saints. I'm waiting for the Falcons, the wheels to come off a little bit with the Falcons.
I think we all are, yeah.
But I don't think this is the game that's going to happen.
No, do I really think this is a 6-0 good team? No, I mean, they're good because they have a really good offensive line and run game, and they have Julio Jones, and their defense is just good enough. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, are they a team that I see finishing? You know, are they going to finish 14-2? No. Well, are they going to finish 11-5? I think there's a strong chance. So, like, you know, it's going to happen. They're going to start losing games. I mean, if they go 6-0 and they finish 11-5, that would mean they're going to be 5-5 for the rest of the season. But yeah, I mean, the Saints are awful. They're in when you're facing the candidates for the worst team of the league, and the Saints are candidates for that. Then absolutely. I mean, it's got to be the Falcons. Not only that, but in a week where a survivor game is really hard to find when we go through the rest of the picks, you'll notice, I think this is probably my survivor pick. I think this is probably the best survivor pick of the week.
Interesting. All right. Well, let's move on to the Dolphins versus the Titans. Battle of 1-3 teams.
Yeah, see, so this is the opposite, right?
Totally the opposite.
I mean, the no question, Dolphins have more talent, I think. Or should be farther along. I mean, they were looking like a team that should be a division challenger coming into the season. Then you got, you know, the coach change. Will that be a positive? It seems to be from what people are talking about, the energy in practice. But then again, I don't know how good Dan Campbell is going to be as a head coach. So I'm just really, it's such an unknown quantity that we're picking up here in this one. So I'm going to go Titans.
See, I'm going to go with the Dolphins because I believe that they're going to get a one-game boost from Dan Campbell being head coach. After that, all bets are off. I think they're back in the tank and they're finishing poorly. but I think this is going to be that 1 week boost they get.
You see this as being a high scoring game, medium scoring game, or low scoring?
Low scoring game. I don't think either offense is going to be exceptionally good.
So this is one with fantasy players to avoid.
Yeah, I would say so. And although the defenses might be fine if you play in a league where low scoring gets you bonus points.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure the Titans might be able to get the run game going just because everybody has against the Dolphins so far.
Well, it's possible, but we'll see what happens. All right. Wow. And now we have another battle of bottom feeders. We have the 1-4 Texans versus the 1-4 Jaguars.
This is why I said it's a really tough week for survivor picks, because there's everybody's, all the good teams are playing good teams, bad teams are playing bad teams. So, I don't know. What do you think?
I'm going with the Jaguars. I actually think that, Blake Bortles is a better quarterback.
There's no question of that.
Than anybody that Houston can trot out there. And the truth is that I think that Houston has better talent, but at this point, Houston has, I know they put it together once, but I'm not 100% sure they can put it together again. So, and given that the Jags are at home, I'm going to go with the Jags. The
Jags have lost a couple games this year. I mean, they're 1-4, but they've lost a couple games, close games that they could have won. The Texans are getting their butts beat pretty regularly. I mean, their games aren't even really all that close. So, based on that, I think the Jags are the choice. But I am waiting for the day when J.J. Watt wins the game all by himself. This could be the one.
It could be. All right. This one should be a little easier. Cincinnati 5-0 versus Buffalo 3-2.
Yeah. Buffalo's outperforming my expectations. But this is also a really strong survivor pick. This one, another one I might really go with. I'm pretty sure I still have the Bengals on the board to pick from. The problem is that because the Bills are outperforming my expectations, I'm already left wondering, if they can do it again this week at home, if they can pull another upset, will the Bengals have let down from their game against the Seahawks? But then I look at Tyrod Taylor being out, most likely with a concussion, and that pretty much seals the deal as a survivor pick and a surefire thing.
The way I look at it is that the Bengals, again, I don't know how they're 5-0, but at the same time, I just can't see them losing this game.
No, I can't see them losing this game either, not with Taylor out. And like I said, I think that I can know how they're 5-0. This is a team that's going to be in the AFC Championship game. I've said it a couple times. I started saying it in like week two. Against the Patriots, I believe. The way things are coming together. It just seems like a team of destiny. Sometimes things just happen. And that's how I'm feeling about those Bengals. They're good. They're good.
All right. Well, let's move on to another 5-0 team. The Denver Broncos versus the 2-3 Cleveland Browns. Now, other teams, we can question how they got to 5-0. I don't question at all how the Broncos got to 5-0.
No.
It's defense.
You're absolutely right. But we talk about we're expecting the wheels to fall off a little bit in Atlanta. And same thing with Denver. I mean, I'm not sure who is the better 5-0 team. One team's doing it really off of a high-powered offense. The other team's doing it off of a superstar defense. Neither team to me is a full balanced team. And Cleveland, I think they showed something last week in that win in Baltimore. I'm picking Cleveland for the upset.
That's interesting, yeah. I mean, Cleveland has the potential to score points, but I think that the Denver defense is just going to smother them, and Peyton Manning is only going to have to score like 20 points for Denver to come away with the win.
That's all he's been doing.
Yes. All right, Chicago Bears 2-3 at the 0-5 Detroit Lions. Can the Lions actually win a game?
This Lions team last year not only went to the playoffs, but I mean they got screwed in their playoff loss against the Cowboys. I mean they lost Sue, and that's a big loss, but they shouldn't be this bad. And the Bears are not. The Bears are still banged up and on the road. I mean, I don't see the Bears winning two road games in a row. And, yeah, I don't like... I don't know what's going on with Stafford. What's going on? Will he bounce back? How will he take being benched? That's a huge question. But you know what? I got to go with the Lions. But again, it's hardly a survivor pick. Like it's a tough game.
Yeah, that's a 51-49. I'm going with the Lions because they're at home, and they got to get off the schneid sometime.
Yeah, they're the last team that doesn't want a game.
That's right. Happen.
I mean, if you can't beat the Bears.
Yeah. All right, Washington 2-3 versus the 3-1 New York Jets.
I gotta go Jets here. I mean, Washington again, another team outperforming my expectations, but the Jets, I think, they're fairly solid coming off a bye week at home. Everything's pointing Jets.
I like the fact that a 2-3 team is outperforming our expectations.
Well, they are though.
Yeah. I like the Jets too, for sure.
I mean, yeah, they're only 2-3, but they've been competitive.
Yes, that is true. All right, the Arizona 4-1 Cardinals versus the 3-2 Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, there's one that we talk about, a tough game, man. A rematch of one of the classic Super Bowls of all time too. But you know, at the end of the day, we don't know if Big Ben's going to play. There's an outside chance he's going to come back that early. Certainly, if you're an Antonio Brown owner, you're hoping so, but. If it's Vic versus Palmer, I'm going Palmer. And, I still think the Cards might very well be the best team all around in the NFL. So, I'm going Cards.
Yeah, if it's Vic, then it's pretty much a no-brainer that it's the Cards. Even if it's Big Ben, I still think it's the Cards.
I think so, too.
All right, Kansas City Chiefs 1-4 versus Minnesota Vikings 2-2.
I think the Vikings are good here. Obviously, you've lost Charles. I mean, they're probably going to theoretically have to put the ball and the game into the hands of Alex Smith more. That's never a good thing, because he's just a game manager, a fine one, but he's just a game manager. The defense for the Chiefs isn't as good as we thought. Vikings are good at home. I think this is, if you're looking for a sneaky survivor play, this is a good one. What do you think?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, the Chiefs are devastated. Like, and Andy Reid's not there this year. He's kind of checked out, I think, and so
it almost seems that way, and that's a shame to say. But you know what? Yeah, Peterson should have a big day.
Yep. All right. Carolina Panthers 4-0 versus the 2-3 Seattle Seahawks.
This is an insane game to play.
Yeah, absolutely.
Panthers have played so well. They're coming off a bye. Their defense has been the best defense outside of the Broncos in the league. On the other hand, Seattle is at home. They lost a tough game last week against a good Bengals team. We know they're probably still going to the playoffs. This seems to me where the Panthers lose and the Seahawks win.
I agree with that. You know, I don't necessarily like the Seahawks. I've seen the Seahawks play this year, and they're not that good a football team, but they are at home, and I still just can't pick against them right now.
Well, that's the thing is, I mean, is it a sure thing? No, because of their offensive struggles and because of, well, quite honestly, because, I mean, they don't know how to use Graham, and it's really, you know, amazing that they don't. But you still got to go with them, I think, here. But let's put it this way. If the Seahawks lose this one, then all of a sudden I'm not picking them in this type of game in the future, you know?
That's right.
This is the game where we learn about them and settle it.
Yeah. All right. 2-3 San Diego Chargers versus the 5-0 Green Bay Packers at home.
I picked the Chargers to win that division, but that loss last week that they on Monday night against the Steelers, I mean, to me that's the telling game. Their offensive line is awful. You got to go Pack.
Oh yeah, the Packers are the Packers could literally go without losing a game as well this year. And they're not even that good a team, but they're Aaron Rodgers.
Here's what's scary about them. They're 5-0, and Eddie Lacy's only had one good game. Could this be where he breaks out for a second big game? I think so. I thought he'd have it last week. He didn't. They're still 5-0.
All right, now the battle of 1-4 teams, the Baltimore Ravens versus the San Francisco 49ers. Now, at the beginning of the year, if you had told me that San Francisco was going to be 1-4, I would have said, wow, they won a game. And yet, Baltimore, if you told me that they were going to be 1-4, I would have been like, what? They lost 4? I would have expected 4-1 at this point.
Well, I don't know about 4-1, but this should have been the Harboroughs. Remember, this was a Super Bowl matchup not that long ago.
That's right. Yes, like, absolutely.
Like that's the thing. This is a 1-4 team versus a 1-4 team, and we're not that far removed from these two teams meeting in a Super Bowl. That's what's really insane here. The Ravens have the better team here.
Yeah, they do have the better team.
You got to go Ravens, the better team.
The thing is, I know the Ravens can still score points despite the fact their offensive inadequacies.
I have no idea what Kaepernick is. Dude, awful, really good. Awful, really good. Fair, really good. Awful.
Yeah.
Like, no idea what to expect.
All right, the New England 4-0 Patriots versus the 3-2 Indianapolis Colts.
Super tough game. I mean, because the Patriots, do I think this team goes undefeated? I don't think so, but you know what? If there's a team that, if they're ever going to do it, if they're ever going to be that team that actually beats that Dolphins record that they almost did before, this is the year. I'm not picking against New England yet. I mean, I'm just not picking against them until they lose.
No. I mean, luck will come back, but luck hasn't looked as good as people have expected. And like you say, you can't pick against the Patriots right now.
You can't.
All right.
Coming off a bye, too.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh. Monday night, New York Giants.
They're not coming off a bye, are they? Sorry, they played.
No. Yeah, they played. Yeah, so they're coming off a bye.
Virtually.
All right. Monday night, the New York Giants 3-2 versus the 2-3 Philadelphia Eagles.
This is another swing game. Eagles at home. Eli looking awesome. Eagles finding themselves. What do you think?
You know what? In this case, I'm it's 51-49 again, but I'm going with the Giants because I think the Eagles are still mostly smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, I'm going 51-49, especially if Murray has found his game. It's so close. This will be decided, I think, in the last 2 minutes of the game. I think it's going to be like a 31-27 game in the last like 2 minutes, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm going to go Eagles.
Important divisional matchup, though. Whoever does manage to pull this off definitely gets a leg up in that division.
Absolutely. All right, so we're back now. It's we're picking this up. This is day two now of the conversation. We're having to pick it up, but meaning that last night's Falcons and Saints game now has occurred. Of course, you didn't need me to tell you that Freeman was going to be one of the plays of the week because Freeman is pretty much always right now one of the plays of the week. Unfortunately, I also thought that the Falcons D would be a good pick and they were my survivor pick. And, well, you know, hey, you're not always going to be right.
And, you know, it's unfortunate, but they weren't going to stay perfect for the entire season. You know, the Patriots could potentially, so could the Packers, but the Falcons weren't going to do it. And this just happened to be not their week.
Yeah, no, it was going to happen. It was bound to happen. So I just didn't think it would happen against the Saints. Again, that's what makes the NFL, but that's what makes it fun, but that is also what makes it hard, is it's like just when you think you know what you got in the Saints, they're terrible. Then they're desperate and they win that game. So, but you know, good night for the Saints, obviously. But we're gonna move on here. We're gonna talk about the best players per position and a little bit about the streaming, because one of our most useful sites that we use is FF Today, and it has on there. You know, you can see the rankings for customized for your league. It's free. You can customize for your league. You can, or just use their basic settings, which is what we do for their PPR, because that's pretty much all we're playing. And it's basically, you can look at who's giving up the most fantasy points per position to your players. Or you just go to strength of schedule, which is kind of just the easy way to do it. It's going to tell you who has a plus matchup that week and who has a negative matchup that week. So if you're streaming heavily like us, or you're picking best players of the week, you know, that's a great place to go.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, I mean, if we're just picking a quarterback as far as this week goes, you know, well, obviously Matt Ryan looked great.
Yeah, Ryan had a great night. Unfortunately, we didn't play him, but we did play in our best picks. We did, obviously, like we see, we went with Freeman. So.
But, you know, if you're just looking at who's got the best matchup overall, Teddy Bridgewater has the best matchup going up against Kansas City.
Yeah, that's great for the stream. So there's somebody now we're going to be looking to stream because Bridgewater is out there all over the place. So that where we have McCowan and he's facing Denver,
yes,
we're going to pull that for Bridgewater.
Guess what? Guess who's got the worst matchup of the week?
I'm guessing McCowan.
It's McCowan, yeah.
Yes, yeah. No, that's not. But that's exactly it. I mean, we talk about it like the one team, Bluegrass Warhead. I mean, last week we streamed McCowan, We streamed Chris Sims. Or not Chris Sims.
Charles Sims?
Thank you. Charles Sims. Chris Sims.
We haven't streamed.
Do not stream Chris Sims. That would not work out well for you. Charles Sims. We streamed Charles Sims. And the most bold move of the week was we saw Vernon Davis is hurt. We saw the plus matchup that the San Francisco tight ends had. And we streamed Garrett Selleck. And guess what? Everybody's sleeping on him, but he's never scored less than 5 points in a PPR this year. Without Davis there, 10 points, we won the game.
Yeah, and that's what I mean when I say that you have to be willing to commit. Because in previous years, you could have given me the choice between a name player and Garrett Selleck, and I would have always chosen the name player simply based on the name. Not yeah. based on anything else. It would have been very, very difficult for me to put aside whatever feelings I have and say, oh, yeah, I'll take this scrub, you know, who nobody's heard of.
There's something very freeing about the fact that we have gone 11-1 streaming heavily the last 2 weeks. And both weeks we've had our number one first and second round draft pick in most leagues. Because we ended up with them in most leagues, or where we spent most of our money on in an auction, in Jeremy Hill and DeMarco Murray on the bench. And both of them have had a good game and not so good game. But we sat them both weeks, and it hasn't hurt us. The only game we lost was one where we had Charles, and he went down with that injury. There's something terribly freeing knowing you're having that success based on the stream, and you still got these guys in your back pocket.
Oh yeah, because if they ever pick it up and come back on, and who knows, maybe everything's flipped on for DeMarco Murray now. I hope so, because I'd really like to have that player back in the lineup.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, it's a really good feeling. So that's why again we're really big on this idea of the stream. So what we're looking at here for the quarterback though would be. Yeah, okay, you don't want just the best matchup. Bridgewater, despite, he's a guy now we're going to stream, but we're not going to pick him as the top performer of the week. So who else has a top performer of the week that's one of those top quarterbacks? Obviously, Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan, yeah. San Francisco, Colin Kaepernick, but you're not going to play him.
You're not going to play him, but, you know. But another guy that if you need a stream, feel comfortable.
Peyton Manning, actually, would be one of the higher ones, as well as Joe Flacco.
Okay,
both of those you can't feel that good about overall.
No, I mean, what's funny is I don't think the Green Bay has, they don't have the but on the other hand, it's Aaron Rodgers, it's New England, it's Tom Brady. Where do these guys rank on their matchups?
Well, New England has an 8%, you know, which is not green. But it's not bad. Like it's
not
okay.
Bad. At least it's in the positives. An 8% upgrade over their average that he's played against.
I mean, Cincinnati with Andy Dalton there, 9.7%. That's actually really, really solid. Still not in the green, but really solid, no less.
Yeah, and again, that's against his average for what he's faced. And considering the numbers he's put up, now he becomes an interesting guy to maybe pick this week.
Actually, yeah. Aaron Rodgers is big time in the red at minus 13%.
Exactly. So, I mean, some people will probably still play him.
Oh, of course they will.
But he is Aaron Rodgers, so anything's possible with these guys. What you're doing is you're just playing the numbers. You're not guaranteed anything. But, I mean, for me, I'm not big on Manning this year. So, I mean, for me, it's either going to be Brady or Dalton then. Who's going to be my top pick at QB? I think for the week. Who are you going with?
I'm going to go with Dalton.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. Let's pick Dalton as our top QB performer of the week, and then we'll move on to the running backs for them. Again, the running backs is. I mean, we successfully streamed Sims last week, and now we're not going to drop him because his numbers have been increasing every week. He's just become a part of Tampa Bay's offense. But I mean, that's the toughest team, the toughest position to stream is what we've been saying, and I mean, it just is. But who's got the nice matchup? Obviously, Freeman is one of our RBs already locked into our pick for the week of top performer on the NFL Challenge. So who else have we got going here?
Well, Eddie Lacy would be an extreme play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good. As well as Arian Foster, a Denver running back. But
who?
Yeah, exactly. The funny thing is that the New Orleans running backs had the best matchup, period. 48% in the green.
And you know what? I mean, I wouldn't have played them, but Ingram had two TDs. You know, he didn't have a lot of yards, but he had two TDs, so that'll obviously pad those numbers.
Yeah, so overall, I mean, there's actually not a lot of big names that are in the green. I mean, Carolina has a minus 35% going up against Seattle. That's an ugly one.
That's not very good. But, yeah, I mean, what we're looking at, I think we'll probably look at Lacy because I think last week he had a plus matchup and only scored like 5 points. But you're just waiting for that breakout for him. So I think this week we go Freeman and Lacy at the RB position.
I think that's fair. Justin Forsett,
is what we went with last week.
Actually. Yeah, Justin Forsett, if he plays, is a solid matchup. But you know what? This week, as we already talked about with the Pick'ems, there's a lot of really tough matchup, and it shows.
And is there anybody though that you're like, oh, maybe there's a stream there?
As far as the stream goes, if you
sometimes
can,
there isn't.
Yeah.
Especially at RB.
Yeah, to be honest with you, there's a lot of negative matchups here. And, there's just a lot. Like, if you're going to stream, you actually have to hope for that you have a guy from Philly, maybe, who's got an average matchup. A guy from Jacksonville who's got an average matchup.
Yeah, I mean, Matthews is still out there. Sproles is still out there on waiver wires occasionally. Yeah.
If Forsett doesn't play, then Buck Allen, if he's still on your waiver wire, you know, pick him up because he'd be a viable stream.
And I think that he's probably a guy that I would be surprised if we don't pick up and play at some point this week. Just because, I mean, once you get into those buys, you really need those streams.
Yeah.
And injury, even if Forsett plays, if he's hurting, it doesn't hurt to, you know. I mean, if you're in that situation, this is the type of move that has paid off for us. And it, like I said, won't every time. But it seems to be paying off more often than not, you know, so far this year.
Yeah, the big winners in the wide receiver, the big team winner for wide receiver is Minnesota. Mm-hmm. You know, 52% over Kansas City in the wide receiver. You know,
so, go ahead and pick up Cordell Patterson, who scored 5 points this year. Remember when he was a fantasy thing?
Yeah, well, I also remember at the beginning of the year when Charles Johnson was getting hyped as a fantasy thing, and yet, you know, I mean, he'll be back this week, but I'm still not ready to stream
him. The guy that you're gonna, I mean, Wallace there is, it might be available on your waiver wire, and I think he's a really solid stream there.
He is, absolutely.
But I mean, I expect it to be a Peterson to be the star of that game still.
Yeah, I mean the Giants, you know, so whoever you've got from the Giants. I mean, maybe Reuben Randall is a good stream because Philadelphia is giving it up.
And he's probably there. He's probably there available for you on your waiver wire. So, yeah.
New England has has a great matchup going on.
So Edelman then becomes a player probably for the top performer?
He could be a must-start. San Francisco, Baltimore is a great matchup, but who do you trust with San Francisco overall? Maybe Torrey Smith. He's on the wire.
Torrey Smith is on the wire again. A fine stream. He's had some big games. I don't know what to do with anybody with the Ravens. So
yeah, AJ Green is a solid matchup going up against Buffalo.
Yeah, and I don't mind Green. I wouldn't mind going with Green and Edelman. That's fine with me.
Yep. Yeah, I am perfectly okay with that because when you look at most of the rest of the matchups, you're not actually seeing a lot of strong numbers. I mean, Chicago.
And again, when we're looking at like last week when we won and we talk about Celek, another guy we picked up and played was Snead because he had a great matchup and he had been scoring, performing well. And you know, he was only played in 1.2% of the leagues. And again, we played him and we won. Celek was not even played in 1.2%.
Yeah.
So this is where it is. It's like we're talking about guys who are named guys you still might know, largely because we're doing this off memory. But you start going deep, you get that right matchup, and there's guys who are performing consistently. They're putting up 5-6 points a week sometimes, or maybe a little more. Nobody's noticing. Those guys become the great stream.
All right, let's talk tight ends.
You know, move on to tight ends. One of the things that you'll notice is you would just naturally assume, you know, if your quarterback has a good matchup, that your tight end or your wide receiver will have a good matchup. and you just get into a website like this and you start breaking down those numbers. And that's not necessarily the case. I mean, sometimes they are eaten up by, you know, certain guys in a PPR who are like a tight end or a wide receiver, and I can screw up, or the running back, and I can screw up those wide receiver numbers. So a further study of them matters. And another thing that's good about this website that I like, and not only can you customize it like we say, but you can also go just the last 3 weeks, which, I mean, sure, there's buys, which screw it up. Some teams are only playing 2 weeks in that period, but as the season goes on, and a team that can be horrible against a running back in PPR can be, you know, in week 1, 2, and 3, can be terrific in week 10, 11, and 12. And things change. Trends change.
Well, and players change. What happens?
Players change.
I mean, you get a player back, say, after a six-week injury, and immediately the team gets an upgrade. I mean, imagine if Terrell Suggs actually was able to come back from his injury, the Baltimore Ravens would get an immediate upgrade.
Exactly, and you'd be able to. So it is valuable, and even after, you know, only 5 weeks, you do see changes. So let's use this as an example. Then let's look at the tight ends for the season and see if there's any radical changes if we only go the last 3 weeks. I'm thinking, for one thing, the Ravens might be at one, because I know they were the number one team against tight end, and then Barnett just, you know, had a great week against them, right? So I'm imagining they're no longer a top team. And even one game this early in the season, one big game against a team could completely change and skew these rankings.
Well, Pittsburgh was at 80% against Arizona. Now they're at 55%. But this may be the highest number I've ever seen on the website.
For a plus matchup, yeah.
For a plus matchup. No, not Pittsburgh being at 55%. It's the next one.
Oh, really?
Yes. New Orleans to Atlanta. New Orleans, the plus matchup of 113.7%.
For the tight end. Now, is that after 3 weeks or after five?
That's after 3 weeks.
That is. And what would it... Well, it doesn't really matter. And then we saw Tammy last night did not have a strong game.
Yeah.
But if you had streamed him, it would have been understandable, because you're just playing the odds.
Yes.
It's not going to work out for you every time, but it works out more often than not. Because, I mean, not only do we look at these numbers, but make no doubt about it that coaches in the NFL are looking at these type of numbers and breaking down these type of numbers too, and going, that's the weakness, that's where we attack them, that's where we game plan to.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, Baltimore has a good matchup going up against San Francisco, so perhaps Max Williams could be a streamer. Houston has a plus matchup going up against Jacksonville. Jacksonville has a terrible matchup going up against Houston. Jacksonville, the last 3 weeks, I mean, they're offering a minus 65.5. So Houston, you know, they're tough.
Houston is not who you're going to stream a tight end against. Now, if you have Thomas and he just came back, you probably need to give him the game. I know we're in that situation once where it's like, well, we kind of just... And this is where it's like... You think to yourself, okay, he should be a good player. He's not going to be what he was in Denver, but he should be a good player. And Bortles is playing better. And, you know, you're like, you want to stay with him. You're like, you got to play. But this is where it comes down to your mind and your brain and even your heart. Everything is saying stick with him, because this is the exact situation where you don't want to give up on a good player. And this is the exact thing where we're learning this year. No, this is the situation where you say, screw that. He's just a guy. And he's not the matchup. And we're going to jettison him. He's not going to have a good week. And then we're going to be able to pick him up when he has a good week. And if he does have a good week, it doesn't matter, because the guy we streamed, we believe in enough that he had a good week. So this is like, this Thomas situation is actually, this is almost like a real, like a test of this streaming strategy for us. A morality test of our strategy for streaming.
I think it'll be interesting, because it also highly depends on who else is available for us to pick up at tight end. Because if there's not a really plus matchup, then you might as well just stick with the best player.
But Garrett Selleck showed last week how you can find a plus matchup in surprising places.
It is very true.
And that's another thing, is people are so impatient with players right now. That a good player who he can get dropped, or a player can be hurt and his backup can be suddenly like Selleck was in the exact situation last year, where it's like, okay, he's got the plus matchup, nobody owns him because the other guy's hurt.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, with given the tight ends, there's actually not that many plus matchups overall. But you know, I mean, Philadelphia has a plus matchup going up against the Giants, but we have no idea if it's going to be Brent Celek or Zach Ertz who's going to actually get the catches.
Ertz should be the guy for the catches, but Celek looks like to be their guy in the end zone, and at the end of the day, they almost wash each other out, and it kind of sucks.
Yeah. Jimmy Graham has an awful matchup going up against Carolina.
It's and he's the one guy I'm like, I don't care. I mean, you don't certainly don't drop him. Like, you could drop Thomas. But you could certainly bench him for somebody if there's a stream there.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, I think for us choosing for our pick'em, despite the fact that the matchup is minus 5.3%, Indianapolis has yet to go up against a tight end of Gronk's caliber.
I mean, again, I'll just stick with Gronk every week, because every week you can get 3 TDs. So I'm comfortable doing that as far as a tight end, you know, pick 'em best performer of the week. And, you know, and I think he's been the best performer already 2 or 3 times at that position this week. So, I mean, I think he's twice in their 4 games has been the best performer in that position.
Yeah, and given that, you know, one of the other choices is Jimmy Graham, and he's got a terrible matchup, we know that that's not the choice.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's move on. We'll do kickers really quickly.
Yeah, we'll pick kickers. I mean, and you, can you stream kickers? Sure, and we are.
Yeah, we absolutely. Are. Why not? I mean, really.
You know, I've said it before. I'll say it again. I don't think kickers should even be, you know, exist in fantasy leagues. But, yeah, we will do it. Oh, we have to pick our best guy in, because that's the rules.
Yeah, I mean, a nice matchup is Buffalo going up against Cincinnati.
But we played Buffalo when they had a nice matchup before. And
they bit us, yep.
Yeah, Carpenter, that's when he missed like 2 games. The accuracy of field goal kickers this year has been really crap.
It has. It has. Yeah. Houston going up against Jacksonville, 66.7%. That is a nice matchup.
It's a nice matchup. It's, yeah. Yeah.
Tennessee as well going up against Miami.
Yeah. I'm still waiting to hear a nice matchup for a guy who's a good kicker, who's a solid, consistent kicker, though.
Well, Atlanta had one going up against New Orleans.
That's probably the case, and Bryant ended up with, what, 3 points?
Yeah.
I think it was 3 TDs.
I mean, Arizona's in the plus side. Catanzaro, you know.
Yeah, there's the one I would go with.
Baltimore is on the plus
Tucker.
Side.
I would play Tucker just about every... And we have played Tucker like 3 times, I think, already this year.
Yeah, Denver.
Best player.
Denver, Detroit, Matt Prater... Green Bay going up against San Diego is okay. So there's a lot of like middling matchups in here for the good kicker. So in this case, if you have a good kicker, chances are good they're going to stay a good kicker. You know, you want to look at an Indianapolis, that's minus 25.7. So it's actually a poor matchup for Vinatieri.
So who do you think? Do you think Tucker? Is that who you want to go with? Or
Tucker's a good one. Let me just have a quick look at New England. 8.1%. So I would suggest that you could very well roll with Gostkowski here.
Let's go Gostkowski in the kicker position then again. Not exactly any fear. He's a good player, a fair matchup, and a terrific offense.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people are going to...
I shouldn't say he's a good player. I should say he's a good kicker, because he's a kicker.
That's right. So a lot of people are going to be going with him, though, so it's
That's so it's one thing. If you're looking for that edge, then you know, Tucker... How do you pronounce his name in Arizona? I'm not even going to try.
Catanzaro, I think it is, but could be wrong.
Close enough.
As far as defenses go, Baltimore obviously going up against San Francisco. That's a fine matchup.
How is Baltimore? Are we looking at Baltimore for the season and Baltimore the last 3 weeks? I think they've improved. And
this is last 3 weeks.
Okay, so if you go for the season, how much of a difference does it make with them? Like I say, I'm kind of curious as to what matchups changed radically from the 5 week to the 3 week period, and I'm thinking it could be one. Because, like I said, I mean, the problem with the 2 week is some teams only play 2 games.
No, in fairness, their matchup is almost exactly the same.
Okay, perfect.
Buffalo is significantly different. Okay. Buffalo's defense has improved drastically.
Yeah, and we've to some degree been bitten by that a couple times. Like you know, Mariota was a guy that we played because the matchup was terrific. And then that's when Buffalo decided to not suck on defense in that game. But again, it's like, okay, they Buffalo was bad. They also opened the season, you know, and had a game against Brady. So that's never going to be good for anybody.
Yeah, so Buffalo going up against Cincinnati is a positive, but I wouldn't do it. Carolina going up against Seattle is a very nice, very strong matchup.
I think that's probably a low-scoring game, so both of those defenses should be actually a good matchup.
Oddly enough, Cincinnati going up against Buffalo. Cincinnati minus 43%. It's listed as a terrible matchup.
This is one of the few cases where you flip that due to the change at quarterback.
Yes.
That is there, right? Like, if it was Taylor, I would be avoiding them. It's not. It's going to be Manuel.
Go figure. Indianapolis is a terrible matchup going up against New England.
Wow. But you know who's probably not nearly as bad a matchup? Who's playing Green Bay again?
Oh, yeah. Green Bay, San Diego.
And how is that matchup?
San Diego, San Diego minus 43.4, so it's actually a terrible matchup for the Chargers.
The Chargers, okay.
Great matchup for the Packers defense,
okay.
Though.
Okay, so. All right. Well, there you go. So, the Chargers are one of the worst, actually. Their offensive line has got some huge issues right now. Packers defense is unfortunately not one that's out there. There was a case where, I don't know if it was wide receivers or tight ends or one position, maybe it was even quarterback, where you thought the matchup would be great against San Diego. I think it was actually quarterback. And you're like, Aaron Rodgers is actually like a minus five. And you're like, well, he's not a great matchup, but he's Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah.
So,
in fairness, I look at this and I think to myself that overall we own them a lot, Carolina at Seattle. I think it's a strong matchup, and I think that we'll probably stick with it.
Yeah, I think so too. What I really like about that one is, like I said, I expect a low-scoring game. I expect defense on both sides. Seattle is at home. They're super tough there. But I'm thinking, 16-12? For Seattle. How is a kicker? How's Hushka at the matchup, out of curiosity? Because he could actually be a terrific play, I think, at the kicker position. Though then again, maybe it won't be so good because, let's face it, I mean, Carolina's defense has been solid up till now, so I don't know how they're...
He's minus 39.2%.
Yeah, and yet, so. If it's 16-12... which I could see, that would be 7 points? 7 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but...
No, 10 points. That would be 10 points.
10 points?
That would be 10 points, yeah, if it's a 16-12 game.
Which is very good, but right now for a kicker. But, biggest problem with kickers.
That's where the kicker problem is, yeah. So, yeah, Carolina, probably for... I don't know if you play them as the best... I mean, the best matchup of the week for me, Cincinnati, unless somehow Taylor plays. And if he does play, then...
Moving on, Green Bay,
Green Bay probably. Green Bay
or as well, who is it, Baltimore going up against San Francisco, you probably can't go wrong with that matchup.
Probably not, but Kaepernick, I don't know where he is, and Baltimore's defense has been up and down, though, like you say, they're improving. So I would go Cincinnati, though, but yeah, otherwise I think I'd go Green Bay. At kicker, we're going with Gostkowski.
Gostkowski,
and
yeah.
I think that's about it for this week. Like I say, it's all about buying in on that stream. I find this site here, this today,
yeah.
I find it more useful for me than going through the player news, because you go through the player news and the highlights and the headlines on something like RotoWorld, which is fine, and there are articles, but really what happens to me is I start to find myself so heavily influenced by what they're saying and what they're thinking that all of a sudden I'm going with their thoughts, and that often goes against what I really think should be done. And I mean, again, this is a season where we're not doing that so much and having success, where in the past it's so easy to get sucked into the experts' opinions. And I think a guy like, if you go on a RotoWorld, you probably have a guy saying, oh yeah, but you got Julius Thomas, you got to start him, you got to whatever. And this is where it's like, okay, and that's what they'll be saying. It's so easy to get sucked in, and that's what part of me wants to say, but my real gut right now is saying, don't play him, don't even bother keeping him. It's the stream that is the success, not the player right now.
Yeah, this will be a great week. We'll touch base on Julius Thomas next week and find out how that goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Other than that, Brett, anything else you want to say before we go OUT?
Yeah, catch us at We Talk Podcasts on Twitter. Email us anytime, but otherwise, we'll see you and we'll beat you.
Yeah, well, if you want to email us, it would be... info@wetalkpodcast.com.
Sure. But we
other than that, anything else you want to say?
We never check that email, so.
I do.
We'll see you and we'll beat you.